back to the show. You're listening to The Rational Revolution. If you like this discussion, because of course you would, why not? You can see and listen to all of our other shows at civicmedia.us. Be sure to tune in. Check it out. We got all sorts of good stuff. But yeah, this one, you're going to want to listen to this one a few times, because who wouldn't want to listen to Representative Ahmaud Arbery-Wagner from Green Bay? Thanks for taking time for us today, as you know, all that good stuff. What did you learn about the Madison, your first session down there?
Here's what I will generally say. I can see, I truly get why people are frustrated, right? That there is the agenda that everyday people have for its government, for its people. And then there is the agenda of the state legislature. And just imagine, for example, that we ended 10 months early and we just didn't fund our public schools. We just didn't, right? That there is that until the last day of the legislature, things like postpartum Medicaid expansion, which has wild bipartisan support, almost didn't get passed, right? Gail's law that makes mammograms free and accessible for folks almost didn't get passed and had not been passed for years prior. And so there is something about acknowledging this truism that sometimes the state legislature is where good ideas go to die. And that, but that can't be with the way that our government should work. And so, and to me, that's not even just purely partisan. I want to be very clear about this. You know, the state legislature has ebbed and flowed for a long time, not for 20 years because of gerrymandered maps. But before that, I used to go back and forth. And there is a way in which I can see why Madison is intoxicating, because it feels so far away and removed from everyday people's concerns. And it becomes about whose names are on bills, or who's in charge or who's not in charge, or did you get the right title or not the right title, or are you liked by this person or not? I deeply get that in a way that I have never understood before in my life. And so in some ways it taught me a deep lesson that we do need to elect more people who really care more about the people they serve than pleasing the people in positions of power. Right. And I think that that's a really good lesson. I mean, I think I always believe that. I know what that felt like, but maybe I went in a little bit more optimistic or hopeful. I was like, oh, this is going to be a little bit harder than I thought. But I think that, but the truth is you can't, good ideas and hard work can't be defeated. It may take some time, it may be really hard, but if you really, really do the work, and you step up and you find different ways to be innovative and you push when you can be, there are ways to have successes, even when the things are stacked against you. I often tell people, I know how hard it is to outwork a broken system. My goal is to make the system better instead of making everyone have to keep outworking it. But I've been outworking broken systems my entire life, and I'm not going to let them stop me now. But the goal is to actually fix the system so that we don't have to outwork a broken system. And these bills and this work is all about that. How do we fix the system, not make people keep working, outworking a broken one? And that's why I'm really proud of them, is because they're not just simple bills. I didn't name a post office. I didn't name a school. Yeah. This isn't some small technocratic shift. These are powerful impact policies that are going to actually make a difference in people's lives. And I think that's the why I'm so proud, is that we were not able to get something done in a bipartisan way, but we're also able to do high impact when most things can't even get done in the state legislature. So one, it was a sober reality, but on top of that, it was also a major challenge, but it was something I was deeply proud of.
So I have, as we all know, Robin Voss left. He's retiring. Thank God. You know, and it's interesting. It's like rats off a sinking ship, you know. There is a pretty deep legacy that he leaves, and it's not always really a good one. What do you think about that?
Here's what I will say. What I'm frustrated by, and I think everyday people are frustrated by, is that in our state legislature, we essentially allowed one person to decide the entire political agenda and policy agenda for the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't elected to do that. He is not the governor. He is one of 99 other assembly individuals who are all duly elected to represent their communities, elected on partisan lines to represent the body. No one person should be able to dictate and decide in a legislative body what bills and policies get moved. that we should let good ideas and good debate decide what gets passed and doesn't get passed. It shouldn't be the ebbs and flows of a single person's personality or preferences. And so I am just thankful that this era is over. And my hope, my deep hope, regardless of whether the Democrats or Republicans take the assembly this fall, is that we don't replicate the broken system, that we create a world, a legislative world, where good ideas can rise up and they can be debated on the merits of their policy and voted up or down based on whether it aligns with other people, not whether you are the right kind of Democrat or the right kind of Republican, whether you have the right kind of lobbyist money or you don't have the right kind of lobbyist money, that our legislature should be the most deeply reflective of its people. And unfortunately, under Robin Voss's leadership, that was never the case, that the assembly is the most grounded in everyday people. It's the most diverse body. Yep. And yet we did not get the most pieces of diverse legislation from that. So my hope is the era of that is finally over, and that a new era of government being more responsive and reflective of the people they serve comes to being.
How can that change? What are the top things that need to really change to make that possible? I mean, because Robin Voss was the king. Yeah, we talk about no kings. That was him in the state of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Here's some simple things, right? Have a legislative schedule that's longer than a year. For example, we have 2-year terms. Us trying to squeeze everything into almost less than a year is unacceptable. Making sure that bills don't have a requirement. To get these bills passed, whether I was the primary author or not, and I'm okay with this, I believe credit's free, only bills that had a Republican lead, whether they wrote the bill or not, yeah, were the only way bills will get passed. So
I hate that rule. It's so dumb.
Right, but that was a rule that was just created. That is not in the Constitution. Right. But if it didn't have a Republican lead author, it would not even get a hearing, let alone a floor vote. That hearing should be something that anyone can get, right? That those should be decided by the chairs of those committees, that we should be empowering the chairs of committees to be able to take up bills, and then whether they get out of committee should decide whether they get to the floor or not. There are bills that passed the committees, both the Senate and the Assembly, that got bipartisan support. For example, including Hmong leaders as part of veteran benefits who served honorably in the Vietnam War and live in Wisconsin, that did not get a vote in the Assembly. Bipartisan bill, tons of support, and it was decided that it wouldn't make it there, right? We need to remove that rule, right? If these are popular bills, I'm not saying that should be the rule that only popular bills get supported, but imagine being a bipartisan bill, and that still isn't good enough because it's not the right person, the right personality, it's not the right political stakes. We just need to remove that. All of those rules were arbitrary, completely created by an individual who got to decide the rules of our policymaking, not by law, but by practice. And that just needs to go away. So those are like three. I could give you probably 10 more, but those are just the top three. Like, let bills get heard. Make sure whoever is the lead author, if they can get enough supporters and get it heard by committee, that should be heard by committee. And if it passes out favorably out of a committee, then it should get a floor vote. Those three things, and expanding the legislative window to more than a year, that would be game changing for Wisconsin. Game changing.
Yeah. And you know, I think this particular election season in November, we have a really big opportunity to do something. We had Senator Dasra Alfheim on, and I talked about this too, because, you know, Democrats, if they take the majority, they're going to have to go against their better angels to not treat the Republicans the way that they've been treated for the last 15 years.
Right. 17.
Is it really 17?
I think it's 17. Yeah, one, because I think one flipped earlier than one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's right. And I do think that people should be held accountable. And there's a difference to me than accountability and punishment, right?
Yeah.
There are people who are bad actors who did bad things. I mean, there are representatives who don't even live in their districts still casting votes for folks, right? There is accountability, but I do think that we need to right the ship, that there needs to be better rules of engagement that all of us can benefit from. For example, if you are a Democrat, you couldn't get the same amount of staff as a Republican.
Yeah.
Right? Something as simple as that, right? We don't have to do that again. That there's no reason for the cruelty, but so I do petty. think there needs, Right. But we do need to hold people accountable. And I do think that sometimes those two things get intertwined that I think are quite separate. Accountability and like whether someone should get staffed or not is not the same thing, right? We often use petty politics in lieu of accountability. I think we should hold people accountable. If they've weaponized government for the worst and the bad, we should hold them. That Republicans use millions of dollars of taxpayer funds to sue cities for election conspiracy theories, people should be held accountable. Michael Gableman was hired by the state legislature to conduct a nearly $4 million investigation, including all the time, that led in his own loss of license.
But yeah, he got disbarred.
Right. That was the leadership has the authority to do that without any votes. Right.
Yeah.
Those are things that people should be held accountable for. We should never replicate that. Democrats shouldn't get into power and say, you know what we should do? Hire lawyers and punish red cities. We should never do that. But the people who did do it should be held accountable.
Right. You know, and it's interesting. That's one of the things I saw J.B. Pritzker said that he wants to have a Project 2029 that includes holding people accountable because the damage that's been done, you know, and which is insane how much those things trickle down from the federal government. You know, you see it in the states and in the cities and the communities. It's terrible. It sucks.
Yeah. And listen, we need to be holding people for corruption accountable. And this is, I tell this, accountability isn't partisan. There is no monopoly on racism, homophobia, on corruption, on bias. No one has a pure monopoly. It may be asymmetrical at this moment, and I fully believe that it's asymmetrical, but we should be holding all the corruption accountable.
Yeah.
Right? We should be holding all chaos accountable. And so I look forward to that day. And so, and that I completely agree that we should have a project focused on how do we prevent this kind of abuses of power in the future, not how do we just punish through petty politics Republicans. I think that just isn't helpful.
Yeah, right.
Hold everybody accountable, right? Hold everybody accountable.
Right. In the last part of it, how do people get to know who they should be voting for on Tuesday? What do they got to do? Talk about that.
Right. So, you know, I have a person who cares deeply about all politics. Obviously, I'm a Democrat. So the Democratic Party has a local one at the Brown County, has a recommended or preferred list. You know, I'm going to be supporting almost all those people on that preferred list, if not all of them. The Republican Party of Brown County also has a preferred list. And I would point out that this version of the GOP locally has bartered in homophobia and open racism, including putting sombreros on my head and calling me an undocumented immigrant.
I'd be embarrassed to be on that list, wouldn't you?
I would be embarrassed to be on that list. And I think anyone that's being supported by this version of the GOP, people should be concerned about. And that is my strong opinion. It does not mean that every Republican is bad. I don't believe that. Right. But I do believe that this version of the local GOP has trafficked in conspiracy theories and chaos. And they are supporting candidates that will feed that agenda. And we need to have a new politics that really is about people first. And I look forward to seeing that. You know, it's bad when everyone's starting to run to say they're independent. That just a year ago, they were proud MAGA Republicans. Right. And now they're all of a sudden they're independent when it comes to elections.
Right. Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back on the Rational Revolution.